Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Well, I tell you what, oh man, maybe this side, maybe a little bit more than this side. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yeah, amen. It's so good to see everybody. We know it's real blustery and cold out there. We didn't get the fullness of the snow that I think some of our friends just a little north of us received. But I tell you what, you came to church. You know, here you are. You know, you didn't let some wintry conditions stop you. And neither should we, you know, allow that to stop us. Obviously, there could be times when travel could be dangerous. And of course, we understand that. But you're here today. I encourage you. You're going to receive the word with joy. Praise the Lord. And it will change our lives. Let's go in our Bibles. I have two places we're going to start. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And then we're going to spend most of the time over in James chapter 1, if you want to get that ready in your Bibles as well. And today I'm going to call this message, Make a Choice. Make a Choice. And more specifically, we could call this message, God's Will or Be Deceived. Because really, that is our choice. Either we're going to receive God's will, either we're going to be doers of His will, or if we hear it, and don't do His will, well, then the Bible says that we could deceive our own selves, right? We know that over the last two weeks ago, I started to teach a message on God's will. Folks, how many of you know God's will, that is the highest priority in this life? And, you know, we started out a couple weeks ago, I taught a message called How to Thrive in 2024. But the good news is this is how to thrive all the time. But usually at this time of year, people start, you know, thinking about making changes in their life. And some people call them New Year's resolution. Well, we took a look in the Word over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And we saw this, that we are a spirit being first. We have a soul, which is our mind and our intellect, our emotions and our feelings. We have a soul and we live in a body. So we are spirit, soul, and body. And yes, in that order, that is the order of importance, is that we are a spirit being first. But let's face it, so many of these, you know, resolutions that people make, they're just about dealing with the flesh. Usually people want to, you know, lose weight, which is fine. That's a good thing. Get in shape, eat better, exercise. You know, those are all good things to do, right? However, folks, we got to remember, if we just focus on the flesh first, we will make no true impactful long-term changes. We got to feed our spirit first before we do anything else. And we saw this. You know, the devil is going to constantly try to knock on our door and test the will of God in our lives. Remember what Jesus said over there in Matthew 12, verse 43? He said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, the unclean spirit, you know, walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none, he says to himself, I will go back to the house from whence I came out. And when he shows back up to that person, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Jesus then said that that spirit then takes seven more wicked spirits than himself, and the second state of that man is worse than the first. And Jesus said, so shall it be with this wicked generation. Wow. He said that there would be a generation of people that would seek the deliverance of God. They might receive God's provision for salvation, but after they're delivered from that unclean spirit, they don't put anything in its place. For when the devil comes back to knock on your door, you've got to be filled with a knowledge of God's will. Because God's will is what tells us what belongs to us or what's out of place or what doesn't belong. The devil's going to constantly try to make deliveries into our lives that we have to know better. We have to say to ourselves, but also to the devil himself, say, that doesn't belong to me. No, I don't receive that. You might be trying to deliver that to my life, but I know God's will, and that's not it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we talked about that. And then last week, I ministered a message called Filled, Thrilled on God's Will. Amen. Filled and thrilled. Isn't it good to know that God wants you filled? Fully supplied. He wants you whole and complete in the will of God. Amen. whole and complete. God wants you fully supplied in this life, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And we saw this over there in Colossians 1:9 last week, that God wants you filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Everyone say spiritual understanding. Remember what that spiritual understanding was? It literally means to be filled with the insight into God's ways, to know God's ways. Amen. And remember, we saw this last week, that there is a written will of God for your life, and there is an unwritten will of God in your life. The written will of God is the same for all of us. Folks, are you getting a hold of this? You got to learn this, all right? The written will of God is simply the Bible, and it is the same for every Christian on this earth. We all have the same written will for our lives. However, there's an unwritten will, which means the specific things that God has for each of us to do as individuals. My plan for God's plan for my life is going to look different than God's plan for your life, meaning it's unwritten. Meaning God's gonna have to communicate that to you outside of the Bible. Yes, the Bible will, of course, teach us the principles of how to hear his voice. But how many of you know when you got married, there wasn't a verse written in the Bible? You know, for me, there was not a verse that said, Tim Stallman, marry Catherine Young, right? You know, there wasn't a written verse. Or there wasn't a written verse that tell me what house to buy, what job to take, what church to go to, what pastor to be connected with. You know, all those things are in the unwritten will of God for your life. Folks, that's where you want to get. You want to get to the place where you know the specific plan that God has for you. But here's the number one reason why Christians don't get into the unwritten will of God for their life, is because they first fail to do the written word. You will never get to God's specific plan for your life until you are first sold out to do the written will of God for your life. If you want to be trusted with the plan that God has for you, he wants to see, can you be trusted with what's just plainly written down? If you aren't going to be faithful in what is plainly written down, you aren't going to be faithful to his supernatural voice that speaks to you. So many Christians will ask me, they say, Pastor, I just don't hear God's voice like you describe. I don't hear God speaking to me. Well, there's a couple reasons for that. Either one, we're not hearing God's voice in our life because we're violating something he already told us in the Word of God, right? Or we've never been taught how to recognize God's voice in our life. Folks, get proficient with what God told you in here. Then he will start leading you in your own heart to do his will and his plan for your life. Amen. Now today, we're calling this Make a Choice. Folks, when we show up to the house of God, we gotta have already made a decision. I'm gonna do God's will no matter what it is. No matter how comfortable it is or uncomfortable, no matter how convenient or inconvenient, we've gotta have a heart that says my purpose in this life is to do the will of God. Amen. Make a choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, are you there? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and go to verse 19. Many of you are familiar with this passage. The reason why I'm starting here is because I want you to see in God's word that this principle exists both Old Testament and New Testament. God tells us in his word, make a choice. Make a choice. Decide. All right. God says to the Israelites here in Deuteronomy 30, and of course he's saying this to us too, because it's the same thing is true today for you and I. God says to Israel, he says, I call heaven and earth to record today, or to record this day against you. Wow. He says, I call heaven and earth. He said everything in creation to bear record of what I am going to say against you here today. He says that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, just in case we were confused of which one to choose, look what he says. Therefore, everyone say the next two words with me, choose life, that you and your children or your seed may live. Amen. God says, choose life. He says, I have set before you a choice. He said, blessing and cursing, life and death. And he says, I want you to choose the life. I want you to choose blessing. God is saying, I want you to live. I want your children to be blessed. I want your family to be blessed. Folks, isn't it good to know what God wants for us? He wants the blessing. He doesn't want the curse on our life. He doesn't want death and destruction. He wants us to live in his best. Amen. Look at verse 20. He goes on to tell us what it means to live. He says that you may love the Lord your God. If you're going to love the Lord, shouldn't you love his will? You can't love him without loving what he wants you to do. Amen. He says that you would love the Lord your God, that you may obey his what? His voice. Isn't his voice his will, right? God's voice to you and me is his will for you and me. His word is his voice. His word is his will to you and I. Amen. He says that you would love the Lord your God, that you would obey his voice or his will, that you would cleave unto him, for God is your life. He is the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord promised unto your forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. God is saying that, you know, when you obey his will, he's going to extend your life. He says when you obey his will, he's going to lengthen your days. He's going to bring you into the promises that he made for you. Amen. Folks, make a choice. God's will make us complete and keep us complete. Are you here today? Develop a heart that is just unwilling to go without God's will. It's not your will, not your plan. Break that plan of yours. Discipline your own heart to submit, to, you know, yield to God. I'm not talking about yielding to me. I'm talking about submitting and humbling yourselves to God's will for your life. Amen. But I'll tell you what, God's will is never going to come to pass until you decide to make a choice to have a heart that whatever God says, you're doing it. All right? It's not because the pastor said it. It's because he said it through the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, go to James chapter 1. Folks, notice blessing is not God's choice. Blessing is not God's choice. Blessing is whose choice? It's our choice. God said, I've set before you blessing and cursing, life and death, right? Think about this. He says, I set the choice before you. What does that mean? God has already chose blessing for us. He's already given us Jesus Christ, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. God has already chosen that. So with the choice for walking in God's best, it does not rest with him. It rests with you. It rests with me. Folks, are you going to make a choice to live in God's highest and best? Amen. Absolutely. Go to James chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 22. We're going to read all the way down through verse 26. Are you here today? All right. Don't let the cold turn your heart cold, right? Don't make it, you know, bring you down. Let the word of God, you know, light you up. You know, get you know, excited about God's word. Finding God's will in your life, I'll tell you what, it's the best. The only life worth living, the only true happiness and joy in this life is knowing that you're right smack dab in the middle of God's will in your life. I'm feeling inspired to say this. Folks, God lives on the other side of tough decisions. God lives, God is waiting for you. God's blessing is waiting for you on the other side of tough decisions. Tough decisions on your mind, tough decisions in your flesh. You're gonna have to make tough decisions to put God first. You're going to have to sacrifice some time somewhere. You're gonna have to sacrifice some of your own pursuits in life. You're going to have to make some decisions that seem tough on your flesh and in your mind. You might have to challenge some relationships in your life. You might have to challenge, you know, some things that you're doing. You might have to make corrections. They might be uncomfortable, but God's blessing, God's best for this year and for every year is on the other side of making tough decisions. Let me say this a different way. God's highest and best is on the other side of disciplining yourself to do God's will. Oh, I say that because God is trying to get that over. Well, to all of us, of course. But there's sometimes, you know, there's folks, and we've all been there before. You're up against a decision, or you're up against a place in life, and you know what you need to do to make it right. You know what it would take. Maybe people that you would have to talk to, situations, maybe a change of a job, or whatever it might be, to fulfill God's highest and best. And the flesh and the mind will just pressure you not to do that. And God's trying to tell you on the other side of that barrier, if you'll break through that barrier, his best is on the other side of it. There's going to be times where it seems like you have to take yourself very low to get God's best. You're going to have to put your flesh under. You're going to have to get uncomfortable. You're going to have conversations that you don't want to have. You might have to break away from something. You know, maybe it's a way of income. I don't know what it is. But God lives on the other side of that tough decision. Maybe your flesh is talking loud to you. Maybe you're just going through an attack of feeling indifferent and lazy towards God. Have you ever been there before? Don't tell me you haven't. Good. I'm glad we have three honest individuals in this place here today where you go through an attack of just feeling like, why do I just feel like I don't care much about these things? Why do I feel, folks, that's an attack. It's a subtle attack of the enemy. God's highest and best is on the other side of you breaking through that thing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to James 1:22. I'm going to read down through here. See, the Holy Ghost just interrupted me there to say those things to you. To say those things. See, that's what we pray for. I pray for it every day, for utterance. I don't want a book report. I don't want to speak. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so by the ability that God has placed him in him. That's 1 Peter 4:11. That should be our prayer for anyone that, of course, ministers the word of God. But also, when I'm going to a meeting where I'm not doing the preaching, but I'm receiving the word, I want whoever's speaking to speak as the oracles of God. I want utterance. I want boldness. I don't want a book report. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read down through this passage. Then we're going to go back verse by verse just like we do. Look at verse 22. It says this, but be ye doers of the word. Wouldn't you think that the Bible wouldn't have to tell us that? You would think that the Bible would just, you know, give us the benefit of the doubt that, of course, we would just do what the Bible says. But no, the Bible has to make sure to tell us, do what you hear. Watch this. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Wow. Boy, we're going to talk about this. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man or a person looking at his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself, or he sees himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Or he looks in the mirror, walks away, and forgets what he looks like. Folks, is there anybody that's looked in a mirror yet today? No. There's way more of you than that, right? How many of you have looked in a mirror today? Right? We all have, right? And we didn't just do that for our sake. We did it for everyone else's sake, right? Glory to God, all right? I'm pretty sure that all of us know what we look like. I'm sure you could describe what you look like to somebody over the phone or something that has never seen you, or if you're filling out an application for a passport or a driver's license or something like that, and it asks you basic, you know, what's your hair color, skin color, eye color, all that stuff. I'm sure you could describe that, right? It says, but someone that hears the word and doesn't do it is like a man who looks at a mirror, you know, looks into a mirror, and he looks at himself, he goes away, and he immediately forgets what he looks like. Imagine if that happened in life naturally. How confusing would that be? Oh, we're going to talk about it. He says, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, folks, what is the perfect law of liberty? The word. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of God's word and continues in God's will, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed. This man will be what? Blessed in his deeds. And then verse 26, he says, if any man among you seem to be religious or be faithful and bridles not his tongue, but is deceiving his own heart, this man's religion or faith is in vain. Wow. Go back up to verse 22. Are you ready to dig into this? Make a choice right now not to be the person looking at themselves in the mirror, walking away and forgetting what you look like. Let's talk about it. Verse 22. Are you ready? Well, I'm just going to repeat some things that I've already said. Notice he says, but be doers of the word. Isn't it reasonable to say this, that the word of God is the will of God? Yes. Amen. That is easy. That is scriptural. That is 100% true. God's word is his will. So it would not be wrong to say this verse this way, but be doers of God's will in your life. Be doers of God's will. Anybody want to be in that boat? Yes. It says, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Wow. Somebody that hears the word like you're hearing it today and then does nothing about it deceives their own selves. Wow. Folks, there's a couple of things that we're going to talk about right here that we see in this scripture. Notice this deception has nothing to do with the devil. The devil did not do this kind of deception. The devil wasn't even involved. Folks, I'm here to tell you today that this is the most common form of deception for Christians in the whole world. The most common form of being deceived in this life does not come from the devil. Boy, it sure is quiet in here. The most common form of deception comes from our own selves when we hear the word of God and we don't do it. We deceive our own selves, right? Wow, deceiving our own selves. This is not the work of the devil. It's not the work of anyone or anything else. It's our own deception. The devil doesn't even have to get involved. This is the most common form of deception that you and I have to guard against. Think about that. People say, well, the devil did it. The devil did it. Listen, I'm here to tell you because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, the devil's very small. If you understood who you are compared to who the devil is, you are a giant over him. Isaiah's, writing over there, Isaiah in chapter 14, Isaiah said this. He says, he's speaking of Satan or Lucifer. He says, is this the one that did make the nations shake? Is this the one that made people so worried and concerned? See, Isaiah got to see the devil for who he truly is. And it's almost like Isaiah was like doing one of these. Like, is this the one? I squashed this little one. Christ defeated Satan so heavily, so completely. Satan is not our biggest problem in this earth. Who is your greatest adversary? Yourself. Yourself. Yourself has a greater tendency to deceive than the devil does. You will deceive yourself on a higher percentage than typically the devil will do. If you heard and you didn't do, you deceived yourself. The devil didn't even need to get in there. See, think about that. How easy we make that for, the devil didn't have to get involved. He's like, oh, I can take the day off. I don't have to deceive them. They're deceiving their own selves. Don't do that. Make a choice right now. I'm not going to be deceived. And I'm certainly not going to deceive my own self. Ooh, boy, are you here today? Yeah. Look at that word deceiving. I did some studying in the Greek on that word deceiving. I'm not a Greek scholar. I look it up in the concordances just like you can do. But we understand that when the New Testament was written in Greek, The Greek language is much more in depth and sophisticated than the English language. And so we can learn a lot by doing some study, right? The word deceiving there, I just picked some of my favorite definitions of this word in the Greek. It means to confuse, to confuse. So you could say it this way, be doers of the word, not hearers only, confusing your own self. Here's another definition for this word, deceiving. It means to betray. Actually, the Amplified actually uses that word in verse 22. Do not betray your own self. Wow. Here's another definition of that word that I found. It means to cheat yourself. Do not cheat yourself by hearing and not doing. You're cheating yourself out of God's blessings, but you're also cheating yourself out of some other things that we're going to talk about. Another, and this was one of my favorite definitions of this word deceiving, it means to put someone in danger. Or literally, you could read it this way, be doers of the word, not hearers only, putting yourself in danger. We put ourselves in danger. It's not God doing it. It's not even the devil doing it. I'll tell you what, our greatest adversary is first our own selves. It's our own mind. It's our own flesh. Of course, the devil is our adversary. Of course, the devil attacks. We know and understand. But I tell you what, I've learned this. The devil's easy to whip. The devil is easy to control. It's myself that I have to wrestle with more. Hello, are you here today? If you say, well, I never have to wrestle with myself. I just do everything right. Either you're lying or my wife says, nope, don't say another option. You're lying. That's... Or you need to get up here and lay hands on me quick and give me whatever you got. Praise the Lord. You know, we have to contend. And if you feel like you're just contending with yourself all the time, I've got good news for you. You're normal. You're normal. Guess what? You have flesh just like everybody else. Guess what? You have a carnal mind just like everybody else. That battle of controlling your own flesh and mind, that's spiritual warfare, folks. Absolutely. Yeah, it means to cheat yourself, put yourself in danger, to confuse yourself, or to betray. I didn't write this definition down, but I remember this. That word deceiving, it also means to be disloyal. Do not be disloyal to your own self. Think about that. Wow. Why, when we hear the word and we don't do it, why does it deceive ourselves, or how does it deceive ourselves? Think about this. If you will continually hear the word, walk out of church services like this one, and not decide to do it, you will condition your heart, your mind, into getting comfortable with not doing the word. One of the biggest deceptions that you can pull on yourselves is to feel like, if I've heard it, that's all I've got to do. If you are convinced that you get the credit for hearing it, without having to do it, you're deceived your own selves. Oh boy. You do not ever want to condition yourself to get comfortable with just hearing it. Because folks, if we condition ourselves to just hear it, think about this. Think about, boy, I tell you what, not a lot of pastors will say what I'm about to say. Boy, listen now, listen. Is everyone listening? Be careful. Folks, think about it. Think about how true this is, you know, looking at the scripture. If we can hear the word, not do it and deceive ourselves. If we attend church, which we should, it's the will of God for every, the Bible says it very clearly. It's the will of God for us to be part of a local church. But if we're here and we're hearing the word and the will of God, and we have not made a decision to do the word, that means we're attending church incorrectly. All right, if we're attending church incorrectly, not because of the church, not because of God, but now because you heard and you didn't do it and you attended church incorrectly, you're now walking in more deception. Yeah. Think about when you don't attend church with a purpose to do what you hear, you're inviting harm into your life. Yeah. Folks, the church, think about this. Think about what the word says. The Bible calls Jesus many things, but these two things, and you're gonna, this is gonna sound familiar to you. Jesus in the scripture is called the chief cornerstone. How many of you have seen that in the Bible? The chief cornerstone. What is the chief cornerstone? It is the most important part of the foundation. All right, they used to, you know, nowadays, I'm not saying they don't do this anymore, but back in the day, that was a real thing. There was literally, like the White House, other monuments in our nation have cornerstones, literally, that were set, you know, to be, you know, the part of the foundation. Jesus is called the chief cornerstone. So if somebody's the chief cornerstone, that means you build your life on top of it. See, when Christ is the chief cornerstone in your life, you build your life on, you know, on the rock, Christ, right? But Jesus is also called what? The great stumbling block. The scripture says if Jesus is your chief cornerstone, your life will be built on top of it. But if he's a stumbling block to you, that stumbling block will crush you. Isn't that what the scripture says? If you hear the word, which is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't do it, it'll crush you. It'll crush you. Say, well, Pastor, oh my goodness, then I better just not know anything. Because not knowing anything is what gets you destroyed. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we can't not hear anything, we get destroyed. But if we hear it and don't do it, we get deceived. We gotta hear it and do it and get blessed. Amen. That's our only choices we have. Don't hear it at all, get destroyed. Hear it and not do it, get deceived. Or hear it and do it and get blessed. That's your only choices in this life. Be ye doers of the will of God and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Wow. Think about this. I mean, if we're not careful, if we condition our heart to just hear it and not do it, we become comfortable with hearing only. And then what will happen is that we will lose the most important spiritual instinct that we can have with God. You know what that is? The most important spiritual instinct that we can have is urgency. Urgency. See, Christians who don't develop an urgency to do God's will, that means they have now allowed their hearts to become callous towards the thing that will change them the most, and that's conviction. Conviction is the vehicle that changes my life. Conviction is this urgency on the inside of me, is I gotta do God's will. But if people are like, well, I heard what the preacher said, I heard it, I was there, I was in church, that's all I needed to really do, you're deceived. Not of the devil, certainly not of God, but of your own self. The greatest spiritual instinct that you can have is to have a heart that says, I gotta know the will, and I gotta obey the will of God. I'm not okay with just hearing it only. Make a choice, everybody. Make a choice in 2024. Make sure this is a year you're making that choice that God's will is first, foremost, whatever it takes. The world is not gonna get any easier. You need the blessing of being right in the middle of God's perfect will. Amen, praise the Lord. I can't change if I don't have conviction. Who am I if I don't have any urgency to obey God? It's amazing what people have urgency for. They'll have urgency about their money, about their jobs, about activities, all this urgency. That urgency is supposed to be directed towards the things of God. Amen. Good word. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy things in a natural life. Don't get me wrong. Put God first. Put God first. Look at verse 23 now. Look at this. Get a hold of this. I don't have like, you know, main points. I'm going verse by verse, and we're taking what we need out of it. Look at verse 23. He says, for if any person is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a person that looks at his natural face in the mirror. Isn't that interesting? Something should kind of catch our attention there. Read that. He says, if you're, you know, a hearer, not a doer, you're like a person looking at their natural face in a mirror. That stood out to me. Why does the scripture say natural face? All right. If we have just one face, just say face. Yeah, You know what I mean? Why didn't it just say, it's like looking at your face in the mirror? But it made sure to say natural face. All right, did everyone bring their natural faces with them here today? All right. And we look in the mirror and sometimes we see some things on the natural face that we don't like as much, right? You know, praise the Lord. Guys, that's why you grow a beard. You can hide all that stuff. Is that pastor? You never take your beard off. Oh, that's because I'm hiding things under that beard. Pastor, what are you hiding under that beard? Chins. Plural. Multiple chins. Yeah. I don't mind picking on myself. It's true. Since I've been 20 years old, I've only taken this beard off 4 times. And every time I take it off, it shocks everybody, especially myself. But notice it says looking at your natural face in the mirror. What's the opposite of the natural world? The spiritual world. Here's the point the scripture is making here today. We look one way naturally and another way spiritually. What we look like, isn't it true? Someone could look very beautifully, you know, beautiful naturally. All right. But spiritually speaking, they might not look so beautiful. Isn't that possible? Oh, yeah, look at Hollywood. You can find yourself a lot of pretty faces. But if you could see what's going on there spiritually, you'd see a lot of ugliness. And I'm not trying to be harsh or mean to anybody, but it's true. Because God, we see naturally. We have a natural face. But we look another way spiritually to God. All right? And that could also be true. There could be, you know, folks who aren't very good looking, like me. Right? And you might look one way naturally, but maybe spiritually someone is very beautiful, right? Amen. Because that's what God looks and he sees. Amen. Or you could be perfect like my wife and look beautiful naturally and spiritually. Man, what an opportunity. That'll pay off. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm kidding, but yet I'm very serious. You can look one way naturally and another way spiritually. Isn't that true? Let's ask ourselves that question. We all know what we look like naturally. What do we look like spiritually? Because if you can look into the mirror and if you can see your natural reflection and know exactly what you look like, shouldn't you be able to know exactly what you look like spiritually? But a lot of Christians don't know what they look like spiritually. But God is using a natural truth of a person looking into a mirror to teach a spiritual truth of when we look into his mirror. Woo! Praise the Lord, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Glory to God, all right? Looking at his natural face. We look one way naturally and another way spiritually. Think about your natural face. Your natural face is the greatest, you know, identity of the way you look, right? You know, have you ever noticed when somebody, you know, has committed a crime and there was a witness and they're trying to find the criminal, they ask that witness, you know, to help them make a composite sketch of the criminal. Have you noticed that composite sketches are always of the face of the criminal? They don't show the outline of the body. They just show the face. They want to talk about eye color, hair color, facial hair or not, you know, skin color. All those things are part of that person's identity. Your natural face is what identifies you from a natural standpoint. So now we got to ask the question, what identifies us spiritually speaking? Oh boy, praise the Lord. Look at verse 24. We're going to get to the point here. For this person looks at himself, goes his way, and straightway or immediately forgets what manner of man he was, or literally forgets what he looks like. Think about this. Folks, think about this. If you look at yourself naturally in the mirror and you turn away and you immediately don't know what you look like, how confusing would that be? you would have no identity. You would not be able to identify your own self. You wouldn't know who you were. You would be confused. You wouldn't be able to tell anybody anything, right? I mean, imagine if you didn't know what you even look like. You would feel lost without purpose. You would feel like you're lost without direction. See, the scripture is using this illustration. Somebody who looks into God's word and hears it but does not do it is just like a person who has lost their identity, who has lost their purpose, who confuses themselves, betrays themselves, puts themselves into danger. Oh my goodness. Think about this. So hearing the will of God and not doing it means literally we have no identity. How empty would you be if you could look in a mirror and not even know who you were? What if every time you looked into the mirror, you said, who's that? Wouldn't that almost be like a mental illness? To look in the mirror, oh, I looked in the mirror 10 minutes ago. I looked again. I still don't know who that is. Wow. Think about how confusing, how lost, how empty that would be. The Bible says someone who does not look into the mirror of God's word and do what he sees and what he hears is just like somebody who would never recognize their own face ever again. No identity, no purpose, no way to recognize your own self. You'd feel empty, without value. You'd be lost. You'd have nowhere to go. You wouldn't know who you are and what you are. Look at verse 25. Here's the point. Are you with me here today? Here's the final point. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty is what? I'm going to ask it again. The perfect law of liberty is what? So this is not just a book. This is a mirror. Why do people look into mirrors? To see what they look like. Let me say this again. Why do human beings look into mirrors? To see what they look like. And obviously, at times, we have to make some minor adjustments to the way we look, don't we? Did anybody make any adjustments to their appearance here today? Right? I did not wake up and just, you know, walk into church. Of course, we shower up, we do our hair, you know, praise the Lord. Sometimes I shave here and, you know, we groom ourselves. Why? We're just correcting, making minor corrections to the way we look. That's right. Folks, what do you look like in here? This is where you're supposed to get your greatest identity from. Amen. The greatest identity in your life is supposed to be what you look like in here. You know, nothing wrong with taking care of your natural appearance, all right? But let me make this point. You need to know what you look like in here more than anywhere else. When I look into this mirror, my goodness, I look victorious. Yes, that's right. When I look into this mirror, I look like my sins have been washed in the blood. Oh, I look into this, you know, this mirror. Oh my goodness, it looks like I'm fearless in this. I'm without fear. In this book, I look like someone who's free from depression in here. I look like someone who has the peace of God in here. I have the joy of God in here. In here, I look healed. In here, I look fully supplied. It doesn't matter what things look like out here. This is the reflection God expects us to look at to see who we are. In here, you know, I'm a forgiver. In here, I look like a servant. In here, I look generous. In here, I long to serve. In here, I look like a worshiper. Hallelujah. Someone who hears the will of God in his word and does not do it is like a person who looks into the mirror and cannot even identify themselves. I am a son of the living God. I am part of God's family. I am cared for. I am God indwelt. Spirit of God lives in me just as much as the Spirit of God lives in you. Hallelujah. I am protected by the Holy One. I have a covenant that was started with Abraham, ratified in Jesus Christ. God will surround me with his favor like a shield. God will bless the righteous. Amen. Glory to God. He will provide good things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Amen. What do you look like in here? And so many Christians, this is what they say. I don't know. You're trying to live life not knowing what you look like. How troubling and confusing is that going to be? Folks, like I said, you've got three choices. You cannot hear the word of God at all. You'll be destroyed, the Bible says. The second thing is you can hear and not do, and you'll be deceived, or you'll put yourself into danger. The only option that exists for a Christian, meaning what God truly has in store for us, is to hear the word with an urgency. Yes. Hear the word with a conviction. Yes. Hear the word because you've already made a choice before you ever even got to the church service. Whatever I hear out of God's word that I'm not doing, I'm going to do it. Yes. Amen. Whatever you hear in God's word that you're not doing or you're procrastinating, God doesn't expect, you know, us to, well, I'll get around to doing that next week. I'll get around to obeying that word a year from now. God says the moment you hear it is the moment you're responsible for it. And I know people don't want a preacher to put responsibility on Christians. God loves you. I love you, but he loves you even more, right? And he doesn't want to see you get destroyed. He doesn't want to see you get deceived. He wants to see you get blessed. Look at the end of verse 25. Are you looking at it? Yes. Whoever is continually looking at themselves in this mirror. Oh my goodness, I took a look today and guess what? I look victorious. Yes. I took a look in there and guess what? I look healed. Yes. Guess what? I looked in there and I look like somebody who has the mind of Christ. Yes. Oh man, I took a look in here and I looked at, you know, I saw somebody with wisdom. Yes. Think about what you look like in here. He says, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. You can't just do the word for a day. You can't just do the word for a week. See, folks, if you don't make a choice ahead of time, the first thing that everyone needs to do is first look at their heart and, you know, throw that switch in your heart that says, I'm going to obey God no matter what it costs me, no matter what it takes me to or from, no matter who it takes me to or from. I'm obeying God. I'm obeying God. I'm obeying God. Because Jesus is either going to be the great cornerstone of my life or he's going to be the stumbling block that crushes it. God doesn't want to crush anybody. But that's the nature of what he's done. Boy, there's a verse. There's a verse playing in my spirit right now. You want to see this? I believe I have chapter and verse. If not, we'll be close. I think it's in this neighborhood. Could you bring up Romans 11:22? Boy, it just started playing in me. That's the word. The Bible says that the word of God will speak to you as you go. Do you know that? It says that over in the book of Proverbs, that God's word will speak to you as you go. But Jesus said this, the Holy Ghost will bring back to your remembrance anything that the Lord said to you. So you notice the Holy Ghost is not to tell you something you've never heard. If it's going to come back to your remembrance, you had to first put it in there in the first place. Look at this verse, Romans 11:22, right here smack in the middle of the New Testament. People say, oh, don't show verses like this. This makes people uncomfortable. Folks, I love you enough to dare to challenge you. Any pastor that does not challenge you is no pastor at all. If they just say, well, I don't want to make any... then they're a liability. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Doesn't that sound like the chief cornerstone or the stumbling block? Build your life on it or get crushed under it? Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. Take a deep breath. Those that refuse God's will, severity. Oh, but Pastor, haven't you read? Haven't you seen in these modern times? We've in the Christian world, we've become more civilized than that. We believe in the extreme grace. No matter what you do, God's grace is going to cover you. It's not what he wrote in the Bible. I'm going to tell you what. He's going to take this Bible first over any preacher's opinions. I don't care how big their TV ministry is. But therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity. But towards you that do the will of God, goodness. I've decided long ago, I'm so glad I've never had to, nor will I ever have to deal with God's severity. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, talking about us Christians, it says we are not called unto God's wrath. Aren't you glad to be delivered from the wrath of God? He is never going to turn his severity on those that continue in his will. If you're walking in the will of God, the severity of God is nothing for you. Severity, he says, but towards you, goodness. Look at the next word after goodness. Everyone say this one word with me. 1, 2, 3. If. If. That word's conditional. You think God doesn't have conditions? If you think for a second that God gave his holy son to this earth, that he doesn't have a say into how we approach him, oh, you don't think there is going to be some things that he's going to have to say about this? If, he said, you will not see God's severity. If you continue in his goodness, literally his goodness is his will. That's what it's talking about. It says otherwise, do you see the rest of the verse? Otherwise, you, oh, boy, there's a lot of lies in the body of Christ today. This lie that Christians can just get saved, and it doesn't matter what they do. Got saved, I continued in my same old addictions, continued in my same old sin, but I'm saved, oh, I remember, I'm saved, trust me. No, you might be voting for Jesus. Folks, can I tell you a little something about my life? There was a time in my life when I was voting for Jesus. I was just voting for him. I'd be at parties, getting drunk just like every sinner there, partying hard, doing the drugs, doing all that stuff. And you know what? When the topic of religion would come up, I'd be the first guy, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus. I actually, you know what? I'm a born-again Christian. Oh, really? Not according to the word, I wasn't, you know. And then there came a time when I realized if I was going to put God first, there's going to be some big decisions to make, you know. And I started to realize that my life, what I was doing, the Lord spoke to me, and he spoke to me in a verse one day. You know, here I was in my early 20s, and I started to realize I'm missing God. I'm missing God. Something is not right. I remember I picked up my Bible. I started reading in Luke chapter 6, and I came to verse 46. And Jesus says this in Luke 6, 46. He said, why do you call me Lord and do nothing what I say? Can we bring that verse up? This is not part of the original, you know, scheduled programming. This verse changed my life because I realized how dangerous it was to be a hearer only and not a doer of the will of God. I was just a hearer. I was voting for Jesus at the party. Oh, my vote's on Jesus. But my sin was just as dark as anybody else's. See, at 23 years old, and it was literally, you know, this was 22 years ago, almost to the day, it was January 11th of 2002. I went down to my knees and I told the Lord, I said, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm going over it and I'm never coming back. I realized that I've been confessing you as my Lord, but you certainly aren't my Lord because of my actions. Jesus said this. He says, why do you call on me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Lordship is not because you prayed a little prayer. God is not looking for conversions as much as he is looking for lordship. Woohoo! Lordship. Now, that doesn't mean God isn't merciful. It doesn't mean that someone couldn't accept Christ in their waning moments in life. But I tell you what, you sure don't want to depend on that. Every Christian on this earth, and I'm not attacking you, folks, I'm just telling you what changed my life. What took me out of that darkness. And folks, I'll tell you, it's way better in the middle of God's will. It's way, way better. He says, why call you me? That's King James. That's 1611 English. Let's put it into today's English. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Notice he repeated that. He says, you keep saying it. You keep saying I'm Lord. He says, but Jesus is implying here, he said, I'm not your Lord if you don't obey me. But there's another verse playing on the inside of me. We got to find it. Try John 14, 15. It's in that neighborhood if that's not it. You try John 14, 15. Oh, there it is. Aren't you grateful for the Holy Ghost bringing back to our remembrance what the word says? If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Keep my word. Do not say, see, if someone would have asked me at that drunken party, do you love Jesus? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I love him. Oh, yeah, I love him. Not with my actions, I didn't. Why do you say, Lord, Lord, and do nothing what I say? Jesus said himself, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. Three choices. That's why the Bible says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. On those that do his will, goodness. Upon those that fail, his will, severity. Wow, here's our choices. We can just choose not to hear the word of God at all. We'll be destroyed. The second choice is to hear and not do. We'll be deceived. The only choice that God accepts is those that hear and those that do. Make a choice. Make a choice. Make a choice right here in the beginning of this brand new year. Father, I make the choice. Father, I make the choice. Your will, your word first. Amen? Amen. I know sometimes people hear a message like this, say, oh, I wanted to be uplifted. I wanted to go out of church just feeling good, you know? I wanted to just feel empowered. But if you're under conviction, just know this, that's the greatest power that exists to change your life. If you're under conviction, the New Testament, Paul the Apostle, he called it godly sorrow. He called it godly sorrow, where on the inside you start to feel like, okay, I'm not doing this, not doing that. Be rejoiced that it has been revealed to you that you can make the changes. Because God's not looking to put severity on anybody. He doesn't want his wrath on anybody. He wants his goodness on you. He wants his love on you. He said, I set before you blessing and cursing, death and life. He says, choose life. He says, I want you to be blessed. I want you to do my will. I want those blessings to come upon your life. And now we'll end right here. Go back to James 1:25. Why does this word say this? James 1:25. It says, but if you're a doer of the work, look at the last portion of that verse. But if you're a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed. Don't be destroyed. Don't be deceived. You might as well be blessed. That's the decision I made at 23 years old. At 23 years old, I said, I'm not going to pretend this anymore. I'm not pretending this anymore. You know what I realized? I came to a revelation at 23 years of age. You know what basically that revelation was? I was fake. I was a fake believer. My words and my actions did not match. Oh boy, that's heavy to say, but it's true. And I'll tell you what, I had to get down on my knees before God and say, I'm wrong. Amen. Look, he says, but if you'll do the word of God, if you'll do it, if you'll make a choice to do God's word, you'll be blessed. Now, when we see that word blessed, we usually think of, okay, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? Well, here's the truth. God does have good things in store for you. God does have blessings for you and your family. God has increased, whether it's financial, marital. I mean, God's abundantly good, and you never want to put a ceiling on it. Don't ever keep God at a low point of how he can bless your life. It is unlimited what he can do in your life. But I studied that word blessed, and I saw a very interesting Greek meaning of that word. It means for others to envy you. Now, typically envy is, not a good thing, all right? But what this is talking about, when people see you, they see something in their life, something on your life that they want. They see the blessing of God. Folks, those that will hear God's will and do it, people are going to see you. They're going to be looking at your life, whether you are aware of it or not. And your life is going to be witnessing to them at times when you haven't even said a word to them. Yeah, we witness with our words. We lead people to Jesus. But our very lives itself can be a light and a witness everywhere we go. Folks, people that you're not even aware of, you don't even know this, but they envy the blessing on your life. Some of you get attacked by family and friends. You know why? Because deep in their heart, they're actually envious of you. They see your stability. They see your godliness. They see in you what they wish they could become. And the good news is they can. But maybe you just decided to do God's word, and they still need to make that decision. Amen. Folks, why do we do the will of God? Yes, to honor God, but it also will reach others. Amen. Do you know that the Bible says that all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God? That's right. It's waiting to see what a true man and woman of God looks like. What is that? Romans 8:19. Can you bring that up? Look at Romans 8:19 and we'll close right here. My Bible is closed. Not that I can't just do that and open it again. Praise the Lord. I'm not doing that. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Boy, that's an interesting way of putting it. Let me put it in English for you. Can you bring it up in the Amplified? It'll make a whole lot more sense. Just a modern translation. I'll just read it. For even the whole creation, all of nature, everything that was created, that's also people too, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Who are God's sons? Now, if you're a woman, you're like, I don't know, am I a son? Yes, it's a term that refers to a son or daughter of God. That's who we are. Earnestly, the whole creation is longing to see God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing and the disclosing of our sonship. Now, of course, that'll be fully, that'll happen at the coming of Christ. That'll happen in the millennial kingdom. But that just tells you everybody truly is longing to see. What does it look like when God is on somebody's life? Why not you? Why not you? Why not they can see you? Why not you? Why not me? Why not anybody who simply decides, I'm going to do what says in here. I'm going to do the will of God. 2024, do the will of God. Do the will of God. Folks, I know and understand life gets busy and there's a lot of activities and our whole church is raising all these kids all at the same time, and we understand that time of life is very busy and a lot of things. Be careful not to drift out of the will of God. You can very simply drift out of God's will and not even realize it. 2024, get back in. Did you get something out of that here today? Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father, you've got your will for our lives. Lord, we submit to your lordship. It changed my life. Lord, you know there was a time when I was a young man, I just voted for you. There was a difference. Before the age of 23, I voted for you, Lord. But at 23 years of age, I became devoted to you. And Lord, I saw what you said in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord and do nothing what I say? Father, we thank you for the blessing of submitting and yielding to your lordship. your lordship. You're Lord over my life. Your word directs me. You are the chief cornerstone upon which I build this life. Lord, your will is best. Your will is blessed. Father, and it also creates the world to see what God looks like walking in a Christian's life. Father, we know this, the world is watching us. The world is waiting to see what somebody really looks like with God on them. Why not us? Lord, you said if we love you, we'll do your commandments. Lord, you said if someone be a hearer of the word only and not a doer, they're like somebody who looks into a mirror and forgets who they are. And so you told us to look into the mirror of the word of God and see what we truly look like. Thank you. Father, I pray for every soul here today that in this year they make that decision. Yeah. Some of you are very close. Some of you are right up to that edge. And there's going to be some of you who are going to have the boldness and have the courage to make the tough decision that puts you over that edge. You're going to move over that ledge with God, and you're going to go into a new place. And you're going to go into new things and God's highest and best for your life. You're right up. You're right up to the edge. There's just one more leap to make. One more leap to make. And this will be the year that you'll look back and you'll say, that's when I made that choice. I will not go without God's will in my life. I will move with urgency. I will move with conviction. And when I know what God wants me to do, I will boldly do it, no matter the cost. Father, we just praise you and glorify you. Lord, we just bless you today. We magnify you here today. Thank you, Father. We just submit in you. With all eyes closed and every head bowed before we're dismissed, have you done the word that says in Romans 10:9? The Bible says there that if you'll speak, confess, or declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice that's not just a scripture that we hear, that's something that we've got to do. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if today was my last day on this earth, if I would be in heaven or if I'd be separated from God in a place called hell. If you're uncertain about your eternal future, I've got good news. God loves you. God's not mad at you. God has literally given everything he could to see that we're saved. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, who was nailed to that cross as he took the punishment that we deserved. His blood was shed as a sacrifice that our sins could be washed away. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord and Savior. I've never acted upon that verse. Well, guess what? You have that opportunity right now. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to go after you. I'm not going to send somebody to go get you or anything like that. I'm not even, you know, trying to get your you know, personal information. Not going to, you know, bombard you with mail and all this stuff. But right there in your seat, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Take that step towards God. As soon as I see your hand, you'll just hear me say, you can put that hand down. Then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer right there in your seat. You can pray that prayer to the Lord and receive his eternal life for you. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now? Is there anyone within the sound of my voice who'd say, Pastor, I need that salvation. I see your hand. God bless you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that would say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need my sins washed and forgiven. God loves you. If we can't come to church and be changed, where else can we truly get changed? You say, well, I just wanted it just to always feel good. Well, I'll tell you what, nothing feels better than getting the burden of sin off your shoulders. Anybody else, before we pray, we did have a hand. Anyone else that say, yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Well, we did have a hand. What we're going to do is I'm going to pray this prayer. I invite everybody to pray with me. And if you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Mean it with your heart. You're praying to the Lord. He will hear you. Let's go ahead. Let's pray this prayer. Everyone say this with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't it good to see people coming to the Lord? Glory to God. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. There's nothing better than seeing, you know, someone give their life to Jesus Christ. And folks, I just say this to anybody. You know, the number one goal, get into a place where you're going to be taught the Bible. Taught the Bible. Amen. It'll change your life. Well, let's go ahead and just thank the Lord and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just praise you today. We glorify you. Father, I command your blessing upon each one. Father, that they would know your love for them. That, Lord, that they would know my love for them. Father, and this church's love for their lives. And Father, that we want and you want more, that they would walk in your highest and best. Father, that we would be blessed in all of our deeds. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.